Welcome to the AJP Heart and Circ podcast. I'm Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss a new study by Gao et al. Titled Leveraging Avidin-Biotin Interaction to Quantify Permeability of Microvessels on a Chip. This article was published on November 12, 2021. Joining me today are Associate Editor Amanda LeBlanc, author Ping He, and expert Robert Hester. Let's get started. Amanda?
In this manuscript, which is part of our special call for papers on deconstructing organs, single-cell analyses, decellularized organs, organoids, and organ-on-a-chip models, the He Laboratory report on their development of a novel method which allows for microvessel permeability coefficient, or PS, to be measured in non-permeable microfluidics. They accomplished this by using Avidin-Biotin technology. Ping, what was the motivation to do this study?
Amanda, thank you for the introduction. As you know, permeability is an important measure of the exchange function of the microvessels. However, there has been lack of a good in vitro microvessel model to do such studies. Microvessels on the chip allows endothelial cells to grow under continuous flow. That makes the in vitro cell culture more physiological and closely simulate the in vivo environment when compared to static cell culture. But the commonly used PDMS-based microfluidics is not permeable to fluid and solutes. Previously, it has not been able to assess barrier function of the microvessel wall. Our lab sought out to overcome this major limitation and motivated to make the permeability measurement accessible in non-permeable microfluidics and further advance this in vitro microvessel model, making it suitable for more biomedical applications.
Robert, what are the advantages of this new methodology over historically used fluorescent intensity measurements?
A challenge in science is understanding the conditions in which the experiment is performed. This technology is very important in that the conditions have a high level of control. The importance of assessing permeability coefficients with commonly used fluorescent intensity measurements of transported molecules is that permeability coefficients incorporate the driving force for solute and fluid transport, vessel geometry, and the surface area for transport into the equation, representing the true permeability properties of the vascular wall, and therefore could be used to compare permeability properties of the vascular wall between studies or cross platforms.
Ping, anything to add here?
Yes, I'd like to point out that the continuous flow in microfluidics not only promotes the formation of in vivo-like endothelial junctions and glycocalyx, but it also allows the application of stimulus to closely simulate the in vivo conditions. One example of this is the study of hydrogen peroxide effect on endothelial cells. An important feature of individually perfused microvessels in vivo or microvessels on the chip in vitro is the constantly refreshed perfusate in the vessel lumen, which exposes endothelium to a constant concentration of hydrogen peroxide. This makes a fundamental difference from the one-time addition of hydrogen peroxide to the tissue or cell culture medium that causes immediate reactions and a quick loss of its activity. Those studies usually require hundreds of micromore or even millimore concentrations of hydrogen peroxide to induce responses. In our microfluidic studies, we observed changes in endothelial cells using hydrogen peroxide at 10 micromore, which is within the range of its pathological plasma concentrations.
Ping, you know, speaking of mimicking in vivo conditions, I remember seeing during the peer review process that one of the reviewers wanted you to highlight some of the differences between this microvessel on a chip platform and what's going on in the in vivo tissue environment. Could you take us through a few of these now?
Sure. Most of the existing microvessel studies, including ours, relating to inflammatory responses were conducted in post-capillary venules. not true capillaries. Post-capillary venules have been demonstrated as the main site for leakages during inflammation. The diameters of those venules are in the range of 35 to 50 micrometer. So one caveat is that the system we established has micro channel diameter at 60 micrometer, which is close to the higher range of in vivo venular diameters, but in a smaller range of microfluidic studies. Reducing channel diameters further would increase the difficulties for cell seeding. Additionally, microvessels in vivo have multiple layers of barrier that contribute to the selectivity and the quantity of fluid and solute transport. The in vitro microvessels have the layer of glycocalyx and endothelium. They lack the extracellular matrix and the perivascular cells, such as pericytes or smooth muscle cells. With that being said, our results do indicate that the in vivo-like endothelial junctions and glycocalyx developed in microfluidics are the key components contributing to their basal barrier function and acute inflammatory responses, which are close to those observed in intact microvessels, and make a distinction from the pro-inflammatory phenotype often observed in statically cultured endothelial monolayers.
Robert, in your expert opinion, you know, what field or disease do you see that this new methodology having the largest influence on?
There is a large interest in organ-on-a-chip, particularly in translational studies. This technology, as presented here, opens up a wide range of translational applications, such as investigations of patient blood interactions with human microvascular endothelial cells. This also can be used to detect pathological factors that increase permeability, to identify cellular and molecular signaling pathways that regulate permeability, and to conduct mechanistic investigations for drug delivery and screening processes.
Ping, could you give us a behind-the-scenes glimpse into how this was all developed? You know, like, when did you decide this innovative methodology needed to be created and then therefore established? And, you know, were there any major hiccups or surprises along the way that you'd like to share?
Since 2016, when we first established the in vitro microvessels and demonstrated their calcium and the nitric oxide responses to inflammatory mediators, we have been thinking how to make them accessible for permeability measurement. Meanwhile, we have seen some studies using collagen-based channels or hydrogel-coated microchannels. Those platforms can be permeable to solute and fluid, but they have other limitations. They usually have larger channel diameters and stability issues for longer-term culture, as well as the complexity of variable diffusion properties of the matrices. Until about 2 years ago, a poster at a meeting showed that the Avidin-Belt interaction can be used to look at the leakages in the static cell culture. That immediately triggered the idea of using that technique in the microfluidics. The technique development is quite smooth. I was surprised how close the measured PS values in the in vitro microvessels to those measured in intact microvessels, which provide important validation for their future applications.
Bing, any other thoughts to add in here? Maybe something related to the glycocalyx that's developed in the system, because this was something that was especially considered in the discussion of your manuscript.
Excellent point, Amanda. You're correct. Another very important feature of this system is the well-developed glycocalyx. The static cell culture usually does not have well-developed glycocalyx, and the studies of glycocalyx using in vivo system have technical challenges. The new macroscopic technique allows us to have direct XZ cross-sectional images, which precisely illustrate the thickness of glycocalyx. This approach allows us to observe its degradation and its effect on permeability with real-time images using pathological concentration of hydrogen peroxide, which has not been achieved previously.
That's awesome, Ping. Robert, anything else to add in here before we wrap up?
Ping, previously you mentioned that the channel diameter is approximately 60 microns, which is a little larger than what you would consider as post-capillary venules. What sort of size range do you think you can get to in the future?
I think if we further reduce the channel diameters, that may cause difficulties for cell sealing. Currently, most of the microfluidic studies have channel diameters above 100 or 200 micrometer channel diameter. So we may consider reduce further to about 40 to 50 micrometers. Probably that will be the limitation for what we can do.
Ping, where do you see this technology going in your hands? Do you have anything planned in particular coming up in the near future?
We have many projects planned for these in vitro microvessel studies. For example, we can use different disease patient blood samples to perfuse into these in vitro microvessels to study the blood component interaction with endothelial cells in this in vitro microvessel model. We also can do molecular studies. At the end, we can trip off those endothelial cells to do molecular studies.
That's really exciting. I can't wait to see some of the data that come out of that. I really think it's important that this technology, you can study that human blood interaction with human endothelial cell formed microvessels. That's quite the translational step there.
Ping, how long will this setup last in terms of, is it an acute setup several hours or will it last days?
It can be used acutely, also can be used under incubation for more than a week, even up to 2 weeks actually. So we currently use to study not only acute responses, also we do chronic responses. So we can perfuse, for example, diabetic human plasma for about a certain period, and then we can put them into culture. We will see how the endothelial cell changes in the longer term incubation period.
Well, thanks everyone. Taken all together, it sounds like this system provides an excellent in vitro microvessel model that allows for quantification of endothelial cell calcium concentration, but also permeability simultaneously. It also illustrates the transport pathways and the endothelial cell junctional changes. So I want to thank both Ping He and Robert Hester in the discussion today. Thank you for joining us. I also want to mention that there's still time to submit to the call for papers on deconstructing organs, single cell analyses, decellularized organs, organoids, and organ on a chip models.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the AJP Heart and Circ podcast. Our theme music was written and performed by Ray Mitchell. Catch the latest episodes of our podcast at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.